Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the meetings we've had so far. We thank you for the messages we've heard. We thank you for another day to meet, another day to open your word, another day to look and see what it says. Lord, we thank you and for yourself and for what you've done. Lord, I pray that you would bless us this morning. I pray that, Lord, you would make me a fit instrument to deliver your message. Lord, bless it today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11. Last night when Dale got started, I thought he was going to preach my message, or at least go all the way around it. Now, there's a line in one of the songs we've sung this week in that little songbook. And I think it's in song number 20, second verse, and about line 3. It says, misunderstood because we're all peculiar. And I'd like to think on that basic idea for a while this morning. Misunderstood because we're all peculiar. Now, there's some people in this world that act a little bit different. There's some people in this world that do things a little bit different because they have another purpose in mind. Start reading in chapter 11 of Hebrews, in verse 8. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I like to think about this thought today. Verse 14 especially. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that are living for one thing or another. That are living for today, for living for tomorrow, living for things that they might gain, living for things that they might gain for their children, living for a few extra riches, living for a few extra comforts, a few extra pleasures. So many things people are living for. And then there's another class of people who by what they do and what they believe and what they say declare plainly that they seek another country. Amen. You know, patriotism, I looked it up in the dictionary last night. Patriotism is love for one's own country. A patriot is one who loves his country and will zealously defend it. And I guess all my life I could say I've been a patriotic American, and I'm not ashamed of that. I think it's right and godly for a person, if he lives in a country, to defend his nation, to stand for it, to defend it, to have a love for it, to be a part of it, not to be ashamed of it, especially if there's something to a value in it. But there are people, and I hope that I am one of those, that my life is not lived for the United States of America. Amen. That my life isn't given over. That all my world is not just concentrated in the state of Texas, on the country that I love here. I know that about 4.5 years ago I made a decision. And I'm not saying this to brag, but I remember the decision just as clearly because I had one thought on my mind. I left a career in the Army, one of the few I've ever enjoyed. And I said, I want to do something that will gear my life to gaining spiritual things and spiritual rewards and things for eternity.
Amen.
Instead of things for this life.
Amen.
It says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. About 212 years ago now, a few men got together and they wrote a document called the Declaration of Independence. And they said, by these things we declare that we are free and independent of the government of Great Britain and the King of Great Britain. We declare that we are now a sovereign nation, free and independent of all other nations around the world. And to that they attested their honor and their lives. Brethren, Christians ought to be declaring another country. Christians ought to be declaring for another place.
Amen.
Instead of this country. One thing, one recurring theme that has been going over and over and over and over again through this mission conference, and I don't know if you've noticed it, but it's been there. That we need to be doing it right instead of easy.
Amen.
We need to be doing it God's way instead of our way. We need to be doing it God's way instead of by tradition. We need to make it clear instead of making it acceptable.
Amen.
We need to make it notorious instead of making it appealing. We need to be going for heavenly rewards instead of earthly rewards. We need to be working and fighting in a spiritual realm instead of an earthly realm. We need to be suffering to learn and suffering for His namesake instead of always seeking comfort and seeking the easy way out. We need to be doing that which makes the truth right. We need to be doing that which is right. We need to be doing that which is proper. We need to be doing that which we find in the Word of God. We need to be following the Word of God no matter what it costs us, because it's God's way.
Amen.
And because we are servants of God. And because, honestly, if we are Christians, if we have had our sins washed by the blood of Jesus, this world isn't our home. And what a shame to have lived a life for a world that's not worth living for in the first place and won't last in the second place. Going to be destroyed. I think we can find some examples here in the same chapter. Look at verse 17. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall his seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. It says Abraham offered up Isaac. Abraham put his only child by Sarah, his child by promise, the promise of the seed that all the blessings would come through. He took him up to a mountain. He tied him up. He put him on top of the firewood. He lifted a knife and offered up his son to God. In his own mind, he killed him. Now, God stayed his hand before he did it. And I know when I got ready to go to the mission field, people came to me and says, you are crazy. What about your kids? You're going to take them down there and they're not going to get a good education. You're going to take them down there and they're not going to be able to know our culture. They're not going to be able to date good American people. They're not going to be able to understand the things that go on in this. They won't be raised good patriotic Americans. They won't have this and they won't have that. They may get all sick and they may die and they may have all these problems that come along. But my friend, in the first place, God comes. And in the second place, I thought about this. We need to give up our children for the Master's use. I can remember one of the earliest memories I have, and not specifically, but all the way through my life, growing up in my father's house, I remember a prayer that my parents prayed. Lord, take my children and use them for your glory and for your honor. Take my child, whichever one it was. You give him the right spouse, or you give her the right spouse, and then you take them no matter where it might be, and use them for your glory and for your honor. And ever since I was very little, my father offered me up to God as a sacrifice. Not so much to be a doctor or to be a lawyer, to earn great money, to be a great person, to be a great leader of nations, a great leader of peoples, to be an instrument, to be a servant in the Master's hand. I know I've tried to do that with all of my children. Tried to offer them up. Lord, they're yours. You take them and do what you want. You take them.
Amen.
Because this world doesn't matter. This world has no value in and of itself. This world doesn't and will not offer all the things that I might want for them. I want the very best for my children. And the Lord has given me enough light and given me some instruction and given me some teaching to say that there is something better than this 70-odd years we might live Amen. In this life. There is something better than $50 million sit up in a bank and earning $25 billion a year. There is something better than being the king of half the world, being the premier of communist Russia, or being the premier of half the peoples in the world. There is something better for my child. He's yours. Take him. I offer him. Take him and use him. Interesting thought. Interesting statistic that you find throughout, I guess, the world. They say that when you have a father who is a drunkard, the chances are you will have a child who is a drunkard. They say when you have a father who is a preacher, you will have a son who is a preacher. There's a better chance of a missionary father producing missionary children. There's a better chance of a thief as a father producing thieves as children. In fact, he told me about a study he read where they took one godly man, one preacher, and one, I guess, a murderer, and compared their two lines for I don't know how many generations or how many people. And the differences were startling. Startling differences because of the way one man walked. And what he did with his children. What he taught to his children. Offering up your children. Another song we sing. says, give of thy son
to bear the message of glory.
Give of thy wealth.
Would you offer up your son?
Do you really believe that there is another country, that there is another place Amen. Where they can gain more
Amen.
Than they can gain in this world, so much so that you would offer them up?
Amen.
Oh, sure, I may not have gotten a lot of things in my life that maybe other people got. And I may not give my children a lot of fantastic things that other children might get, but I want more. And sure, I've offered my children. They've been sacrificed in a lot of ways, and they've put up with a lot of things, and they'll probably put up with a lot more. But I'm looking for a better country. I'm looking for someplace else. I want to go there. Verse 20, it says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. And if you go back and read the story, there's a lot of problems in that too. But he blessed them concerning things to come. Not just things that he had with him, but concerning things to come. And if you go back and you understand the story, he's also talking about spiritual things and promises God had made. Promises God had made to that people, to that seed, to that nation that would come out. He blessed them concerning things to come. The same line about offering up your children. What are you teaching them? What are you blessing them with? Do you bless them with the Bible? Do you bless them with a vision for a lost and dying world? A vision for a need beyond this life? Do you bless them with spiritual things? Do you bless them with faith? Do you bless them and leave a legacy of these things for them? I'm going to go back to that example. Mike was talking about Dale and my father. And it's amazing that I think about some of these missionaries that went out, like Aiden and Arlene and Marty and Trini getting ready to go. And they got a lot of guts. A lot of guts. They don't know what they're getting into. But I did. And I did because my father had been there. And my father had taught me. And one of the legacies my father left me was not only what it was going to be like somewhat, but it could be done. It was a blessing. And man, it made it so much easier in some ways. He blessed them concerning things to come. Are you preparing your child for the spiritual battles, for the spiritual trials, for the spiritual joys, for the spiritual giving and the spiritual growth and the things that they can gain, the spiritual blessings they can gain from serving God? He blessed them concerning things to come. So many people bless their children with an inheritance for today. Oh, they leave them $100,000, leave them an estate, leave them houses, leave them cars, leave them lands. But they're unprepared and they're unfit from their father to serve the master. They're unprepared and they're unfit to take a stand of faith and to follow on. Brethren, it should not be that. Isaac declared plainly, he sought a different country.
Amen.
He wasn't seeking this country. He didn't want to follow in this land. He was looking for something better. Verse 22 says, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. You know, Joseph didn't want his bones left in Egypt. Joseph didn't want to be left behind. I guess you could get a picture of the resurrection out of this, that when the children of Israel finally left the world, Joseph went out with them, man, bones and all. They carried him out with them. But my thought on this is, you know, I don't care what all the world thinks of me here. I want to be known over there. You bury my bones over there. You set a marker on my grave. You set it all over there in that other country. I don't want to be known here as second in command or second to the king. I may only be a peon over there, but that's where I want to be known.
Amen.
A lot of people seeking for fame and seeking for being recognized and recognition in this world. A lot of people going after amassing power and amassing where people follow and leadership and being recognized and known throughout the world. Being known for their music, being known for their talents, being known for being great sportsmen, being known for being able to swim the mile faster than anybody else. Being known for being able to do the pentathlon or whatever else it may be. Joseph said, man. He said, now I made it here to be number two. And I'd made most of my own decisions and most of the people feared me. That's pretty well known. He was known as the second most powerful man in the most powerful country in the world at that time. And Joseph said, man, forget this. When you leave, you carry my bones out of here.
Amen.
I got nothing here. There's nothing here I want. There's nothing here for to leave me behind with. Just because I made my fame in this land, don't leave me here because this isn't where I want to be. He didn't love Egypt. He didn't have a lot of affection for Egypt. He wanted to be known over there. He wanted to be known with the people of God.
Amen.
He wanted to be recognized among the people of God. And if they buried him in an unknown tomb, and if they buried him where nobody knew where he was buried, that was fine with him. Just don't leave his bones in Egypt. An attitude of mind. Wise things do not last. What was it? Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep, to gain that which he cannot lose.
Amen.
He is no fool.
A lot of fools today.
And I'm sorry if that hurts. But when you consider all of eternity compared to, if you're extremely lucky, 100 years of this life. If you consider a city which has foundations made of precious stones and streets made of gold and gates made of pearls. And you worry about a few measly $1 million. You talk about how many pounds of asphalt it takes to pave a street here. And we're talking about a city that's 1,500 miles one direction, 1,500 miles another direction, and 1,500 miles straight up. It's paved with streets of gold. You know how many pounds of gold are in $1 million? Not very much. Honestly, it's not very much. Don't leave my bones in Egypt.
Amen.
You carry them out. He declared plainly it wasn't his home.
That's right. Amen.
He declared plainly that Egypt wasn't the place he wanted to stay. He said, I don't want to go out there. He said, I can't go right now because I'm getting ready to die. But you carry my bones out when you go because I belong to that country. Verse 24 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know, I always get a blessing out of that passage. It says he refused Egypt. He forsook Egypt. You know, this Moses was another man that was high up in political government in the greatest nation in the world at that time. Now, hey, I don't think he was quite as high as Joseph. But he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and no matter what you did, that put him in a pretty good spot of power. He didn't worry about paying the bills.
Amen.
He didn't worry about where his next meal was coming from. He didn't worry about pleasures. He didn't worry about comforts. He didn't worry about attainments. And the Bible says he was a man mighty in word and deed. I mean, it was all his. It was his on a silver platter if he chose it. But he rejected it. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
Amen.
It wasn't so much that they came up to him and offered him the opportunity. Here, you can have this if you want it. No, he already had it. He refused. He said, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. I will go over there with the slaves and suffer with them. I would rather suffer with the people of God than enjoy these pleasures, he said. 40 years he walked on the backside of a desert. You know, he never went back to Egypt. He didn't go back. He forsook Egypt. He left it behind. There's a lot of people that are unwilling, that are extremely unwilling to give up what they have in this life. They're unwilling to give up better opportunities, unwilling to give up riches, unwilling to give up so many things. Opportunity, power, ambition that drag people down. Moses believed something. I'm sure he heard about Joseph. Joseph said, man, you guys are leaving. And Moses said, if they're leaving, I want to go with them. Forget this, man. I would rather be with God's people, going to God's country, going to a place that's so much better than this place that we live in here. We talked about suffering, talked about learning by suffering. Paul said, talking about himself, that I might know him, talking about Jesus and the fellowship of his suffering. I think one of the things that's hard for a Christian, hard for me, hard for I guess probably anybody, nobody asks to suffer. Nobody walks up to the scourging stand and puts his hands up and say, beat me. They don't do that. It just doesn't work that way. There's a twist of mind, a difference in the way you think. If we serve God, we will suffer. If we serve God, we will be ridiculed. Many people will not like us. Many people will not want us. They won't make us their friends. They won't help us out when we want a better job. It'll cost us many, many, many different ways. It'll cost our children. Our children will pay for our decisions. My children come home and used to ride home from school. And the kids along the street, they would ride home, used to call them hallelujah. It don't bother me. I'm not throwing rocks at them. But my kids are reaping for some stands I've taken. And your kids will.
Amen.
And the stronger stand you take for the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you will suffer. It was pointed out that, Willie Cosby pointed out, that when God got a hold of Paul, he didn't tell him so much things he had to do. He told him so much things he had to suffer. If we're not willing to suffer for Jesus Christ, we're not going to amount to much for him. If we're not willing to suffer for what we believe, it won't stand the test of time. If we're not willing to suffer for what we think is right, if we're not willing to go through the fire and go through the hardship and go through the trial and go through the trouble, what we've got's not worth having. We're going to have to suffer with it. It's going to take some. The fellowship of his suffering. Verse 26, they're talking about Moses. También too. Moses also. He said he had respect unto the recompense of it. Meaning to say, that he believed the reward he would get over there was better than the reward he would get here.
Amen.
That the reproach of Christ was greater riches than the treasures of
heaven. Amen.
Do you believe that? Do you honestly believe that? Do you believe the reproach of Christ is greater riches than becoming chairman of the board for General Motors? If they offered that job to you today, but you could never go back to church again, you'd be in a position to lie and cheat, who knows what all. It puts you in a position of great temptation. I don't know what all may happen. Would you take it? Would you turn it down? Unto what reward do you have respect? Unto what reward do you consider worth having? What will you follow after? He had respect unto the recompense of the reward for his sufferings. He was willing to suffer to gain what he wanted. He was willing to suffer to gain something worth having because he thought that going through the suffering and coming out on the other side, he would have something better than if he stayed here.
Amen.
You know what? He gave up a whole lot more than anybody in this room would probably ever have to give up. He gave up political power like few people you've ever met. He gave up riches and wealth and recognition and fame and honor like probably nobody you've ever met. People bowed before him. They walked in and they did him reverence. I mean, he belonged to the family of Pharaoh. Go out and command chariots. Let's go here and do this. He built cities. He did things. He was a man accomplished in what he did. A man recognized in his country. A man of power. He said, no, I've got all this. And if I could even get to be Pharaoh, I might capture nations. I might expand my power. I might start a world dominion. But no, it's not worth it. There's a greater country.
Amen.
There's a greater place. There's Amen. A greater reward. 1 ounce of gold and glory is worth all the pounds of gold in this world. One soul won is worth more than all the world. I'll go suffer with the people of God. And when they suffer, I'll suffer with them. When they prosper, I'll prosper with them. When I go through the hard times, I'll go through it with them. And if I have to, I'll help them. I'll lead them. And Moses suffered more probably than all the children of God. He put up with all their murmuring and all their complaining, all their griping, all their bad times, all the times they turned against God. He put up with it. And he kept on going. He had respect under the recompense. He followed through. Verse 35. It says, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. It says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Not accepting deliverance. Seems to me they were offered deliverance. They were offered it. Man, if you will just quit preaching, John Bunyan, if you'll just quit preaching, sign on the line here, I won't preach without a license anymore. You can get out of jail. You can go home and take care of your family. You can take care of the things you want to take care of. You don't have to see your children suffer. You don't have to see your family suffer. You don't have to see them starve. He said, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. Why? Looking for a better resurrection. Looking for something better over there. All of these people had their eyes on something that we can't see with physical eyes.
That's right. Amen.
They had eyes of faith and eyes of spirit, looking beyond this life, looking beyond what we see, looking beyond what we know, looking beyond what we feel, and they were looking for a better country. These men, they signed a declaration. They signed a declaration. It wasn't the Declaration of Independence. As far as countries go in this world, if I had a choice, I'd sign that one. But you see, I want another country. They wanted another country. They saw it, and they declared plainly that they sought a country whose builder and maker was God, where God was not ashamed to be called their God, and they were not ashamed to be his people. So what if I suffer? Give up an eternity where God says you did well to save 12 years of pain and sorrow? Is it worth it? Would you give 70 cents to gain $10 million? I bet you would. I bet you would. And the comparison doesn't even begin there.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
You think that's staggering. That's not even the beginning of the comparison. 10 million years is just a drop in the bucket compared to 12 days. Verse 7. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. No, Noah was warned of God. Says he was warned of God of things not seen as yet. And here we who claim to be claim to know things that haven't been seen. You can't prove to somebody by things that they can see and things that they can feel and things that they can touch that there's coming a day of judgment. You can't prove to them that there is salvation in Jesus Christ. You can't prove to them a lot of things because they haven't seen it, but because Noah believed God.
Amen.
Noah believed the warning God had given him. And Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Not only did he move with fear to his own salvation, he moved with fear to the saving of his household. The Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. He told others of their need. He told others of the judgment that was coming upon him. I can imagine him there preaching for 120 years while he builds the ark. Repent! Judgment is coming! The end of the world is nigh! Here comes the end of the world! There's a great flood coming and it's going to rain! Get out of here. It has never rained before. Why do you think it's going to start now? Did that move him? Can you imagine the ridicule after 3 years? After 5 years? After 25 years? How about 50 years or 100 years? 120 years later, he's still preaching.
Amen.
He's still building an ark.
Amen.
Two things in that. First of all, he's preaching. Second of all, he's acting upon what he's preaching.
Amen.
Getting close to time, he starts gathering all these animals up. Just be ironic. My thought, a sense of humor. Noah didn't like animals. He gathers all these animals up. He's got to take care of them. He's got to feed them. He's got to put up food for them. He's got to stack all this stuff in the ark. And the whole time they're laughing at it. Nope. It hasn't rained one drop. I mean, we don't have any scientific evidence to state categorically that there possibly could be rain, much less that it will rain. That's what they tell everybody. That's what you hear all the time. And you know, we take the book for what it says, and they say, nah, science doesn't say that. Who cares about science, man? Really, who cares? God said it, and we need to tell other people about it.
Amen.
God said there is a judgment coming. God said there is a salvation for those who are condemned. God said we need to be go out sharing that gospel. God said we need to be go out and share it with other people and tell the gospel and preach the gospel to be instant in season and out of season to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering. We need to be going. We need to be like Noah. Moved with fear, knowing the terror of the Lord. Moved with fear. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We're ambassadors. Been talking this morning about declaring for another country. But if you haven't declared for that other country, how are you going to be an ambassador here?
Amen.
If you haven't declared that I belong to the country of God, I belong to God's people, I'm of a different citizenship, how can you be an ambassador to somebody here? They ain't going to believe you. They will not believe you. Why? Because you still belong here. We are ambassadors. An ambassador is not concerned primarily with the country that they serve in, but they're concerned with that country's relationship with the governor or the government that they represent. We as ambassadors, our primary concern should be the relationship of the people around us with God Almighty. That's what an ambassador does. He goes and he carries the messages from the president or from the king to that country. He's worried about their relationship with his own country. He tries to smooth things out. He tries to make them right. And when there's a problem, when there's a conflict right in the middle, you know who bears the bad news? And when the things get straightened out, you know who bears the good news? It's the ambassador. We are ambassadors for Christ. We need to be beseeching people in God's stead. Be you reconciled
Amen.
Unto God.
Amen.
That's our job. That's our duty. That's our place in this world. Because we need to be looking forward to that different country. Romans chapter 10 verses 14 and 15, it talks about that they won't hear. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? If they don't hear the message from us, they won't be saved. They need to hear it. We as ambassadors need to give it. Declaring plainly that we seek another country. That there is another place we go to. That there is another home. That this world is not our home. Just here a while back, I was going through a temptation. And I had heard other preachers tell me, When they went through a time of rough temptation, they would say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord, over and over and over again. And somehow the idea got in my mind that it was some magical system of words. And you could say it over and over and again, finally the temptation would run. But it's not a magical system of words, I'm sorry. But it is declaring plainly, I don't belong here.
Amen.
And I'm not going to go that way. I have a captain, and I serve a different Lord.
Amen.
And his name is Jesus Christ, and he's my Lord, and because he's my Lord, I'm going to serve him. They need to hear. If it's more important, your job, your life, your marriage, your home, your ambition, your greed, your lust, your pleasure, you won't tell them. If anything gets in the way, if anything is more important than what God has said and what God wants out of your life, you won't make this declaration. You won't declare plainly that you have another country. Several years ago, I heard a song Bernie sang in here. He was during the mission conference. Sang a song, souls are dying. Brother, do you care? Souls are dying. Brother, do you care? Souls are dying. Brother, do you care? I thought about that. And I wrote,
in my Bible, in the front leaf of my Bible. Souls are dying. Eddie, do you care? Put your name in there. Do you care that souls are dying? Do you care about souls being redeemed? Do you care about the salvation of people that have never heard and might not ever hear if you don't tell them? Souls are dying, brother.